Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson. Developing your relationship with the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit on this part of the series. And so today we're going to look at the gift of tongues and discernment of spirits and the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation, the last three gifts that Paul deals with in 1 Corinthians 12. Father, in Jesus' name, would you just grace us with your presence? Holy Spirit, would you help your servant as I discuss and explain portions of your word? Open up the hearts of your people. And Lord, let these things become real, not just knowledge, but active in our life, that we might move in the power of the Spirit, your holy presence in us and through us to others. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So last week we ended up talking about the gift of miracles and the gift of miracles and and prophecy. Excuse me for that. And so we're going to begin by looking at 1 Corinthians 12:10 tonight. It says, "And to another the distinguishing of spirits." The Bible reveals four areas relating to the subject of spirit. The first is the Holy Spirit, for whom this devotional that I'm teaching from, that I wrote years ago, is dedicated. Next, the human spirit, which becomes regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit when one repents and is converted. The third is angels, who are called ministering spirits. The fourth is demonic spirits, who are associated with the realm of darkness. In the Gospels, these spirits of darkness are referred to as a number of ways. They are called devils, evil spirits, and unclean spirits. The gift of discernment, translated in the New American Standard Version as distinguishing of spirits, is the gift of the Holy Spirit gives so the body of Christ knows with what realm of the spirit world it is dealing. This is necessary, is a necessary gift in helping to bring freedom to those who are bound by evil spirits. It is also beneficial to help an individual find God's eternal purpose for their lives as they learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Because of the influence of the occult in society, both in Bible days and in ours, the problem of spirits is a real issue. Many people come to Jesus but have not received ministry regarding their past, even evil spirits attached to their lives. The early church understood the spiritual battle in which they were engaged and ministered deliverance from evil and unclean spirits, so that the new believers could walk in freedom in their new faith in Christ. You know, as I mentioned that, let me also mention that as I've traveled on the mission field, I've noticed that it's the Western world that's mostly hung up on these things. Many nations over in the Eastern world and Asia, and in Africa, they're very, very aware of evil spirits. and they understand a bit more than the Westerners do about dealing with spirits. So that's been an observation I made in my travels on the mission field. So let me go on and say the gift of discernment is a powerful tool that the Holy Spirit wants to impart to willing believers. It can be used to discern spiritual realms in the corporate gathering, in other words, the church gathering, in times of ministry to an individual, in our personal walk with the Lord. God wants us to know how the enemy is battling against our success in Christ. The Bible is clear about our warfare, not being with flesh and blood, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians tells us, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6 is a tremendous chapter to study where it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And so I want to encourage you, beloved, to ask the Holy Spirit today to heighten your discernment of the enemy's territories. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and allow him to show you the battle in which you are engaged. Ask for discernment as you minister to others. And so in that, pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word that tells us of our spiritual battles. Cause me to be a discerning as I fight the good fight of faith. That's a good prayer to pray every day as you think about this area of spiritual warfare. And then it goes on in 1 Corinthians 12:10. It says, to another various kinds of tongues. The subject of tongues and prophecy are at the heart of this part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The gift of tongues was being misused in the corporate gatherings. The purpose of the gift was to convince the unbelieving foreigner in their own language that their need of salvation. Through the supernatural, their own language being spoken by others who did not naturally know the language. And so the Holy Spirit would give words in messages to the unbeliever. That's why Paul says in the scriptures that tongues is for the unbelievers. He wasn't talking about receiving the experience of tongues in terms of speaking in tongues. He's talking about those that would hear tongues in the service were hearing the message of the gospel in their own language. And then he encouraged the need for interpretation so those that didn't know the language could be edified and built up as well. So it's quite the study as you get into 1 Corinthians 12 here, and later on in 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And so the gift of tongues was being misused, as I said, in the corporate gatherings. And even today that happens. The purpose of the gift was to convince the unbelieving foreigner in their own language their need of salvation. And if we go back to Acts chapter 2, we see that's exactly what happened. It was a sign gift to Israel. God promised in Isaiah that with stammering lips and another tongue, he would speak to this people. And he said, this is the rest wherewith I will cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But they would not hear. What was he talking about? He was talking about the Assyrians that were about to come down on Israel and in Jerusalem and take them into captivity. He had given a warning in the Assyrian language, but they didn't understand, the people of that time, that this was God warning them. And so eventually the Assyrians came in and destroyed Jerusalem and took many of the Israelites captive into Babylon. You can read about that in the book of Daniel, and it's outlined there in the Old Testament. Isaiah deals with it when he talks about with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. And Isaiah was really not only speaking about that time, but he was prophesying about what was going to happen in the future. So even in Acts chapter 2, what do we see going on? They heard them speaking in other tongues. They heard them speaking in their own language. Now, these were Jews. that had been taken in the captivity of the Assyrians to Babylon. And when God said, time is up, you can go home and rebuild, they didn't go. They already had houses and lands and businesses, so they stayed in that area and, you know, had incorporated in their life the language of the Assyrians where they were living. And so they would come to Israel and celebrate the feast days. And so now Acts chapter 2 is about the Feast of Pentecost, the celebration of the harvest. And so many were there from these other nations and heard them speaking, heard the apostles speaking in tongues, but they heard clearly the gospel in their own language. So they didn't need an interpreter because they heard the apostles speaking in this gift of tongues, and it was a sign that God had also included those from the nations. It was a sign gift, and we'll mention that a little bit more as we go along. And so go back and read that and refresh your memory what happened there in Acts chapter 2 in that area speaking in tongues. See, it wasn't Gentiles. It was people coming from the Gentile nations that were Jews coming to celebrate the feast day. But later on, God confirmed it again when the Gentiles, when Peter went to see Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and started to preach the gospel, and he took five or six of his Jewish friends with him to bear witness of what God was doing. And as Peter preached to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell on them before even Peter got done with his message, and they began to speak in tongues. And the other, and Peter turned to his Jewish friends, and he says, what hinders them from being baptized, seeing that they received the Holy Spirit just like we did? In other words, with the sign of tongues. The Gentiles received the same sign. And so it fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah to Israel that God was going to speak to them in other languages. And that happened because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we could say much more about that, but for today, we're just going to just develop it just a little bit further. If believers were speaking in tongues at the same time in the church meeting, which was what was going on, it would bring confusion. So the subject of tongues and prophecy are at the very heart of what Paul's talking about in the letter of Corinthians. And the gift of tongues was being misused in the corporate gatherings. Why? Because different ones were speaking in tongues and were not waiting for interpretation of what was being said. So the purpose of the gift, as I said earlier, was to convince the unbelieving foreigner in their own language their need of salvation. And through the supernatural gift of tongues, the unbeliever was convicted and won to Christ. If believers were speaking in tongues at the same time in church gatherings, it would bring confusion to both unbelievers and to the believers. So go back and read 1 Corinthians 14, and Paul lays that out and explains it very clearly. For a complete discussion of the matter, if you really want to get into it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where you need to go. Paul wanted believers to understand that this gift, specifically for the common good, was to be used for the common good. Many are confused about the gift and have a tendency to neglect its importance to the body of Christ. And in the 14th chapter, as I referred to already, Paul made a distinction between the gift given for utterance in the meetings, in other words, bringing a message, and if it's a message in another tongue, it needs to be interpreted, and that speaking in tongues and the interpretation was the same as prophecy, Paul basically says. And so it was confusing, and today it's even confusing because people haven't understood what Paul was really teaching there in 1 Corinthians 14. And he makes a distinction between this given an utterance in a meeting and the practical use of tongues in the believer's personal life. In our devotional today, I want us to think about Paul's admonition, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Now I wish that you all spoke in tongues. I know that not all spoke in tongues. How do I know that? Because Paul wouldn't have said that if they were all speaking in tongues. He said, I would that you all speak in tongues. Paul explained that for tongues, the purpose of tongues was to edify my spirit. And so he says that if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful, 1 Corinthians 14:14. Paul went on to say in verse 15, what is the outcome then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with my mind also. Do not set your natural mind against the spirit. Both need to make expression to God, whether by prayer or by worship. The Lord has given this wonderful gift of tongues so our spirit man can express himself, as well as our minds. May prayer and worship, in order to pray and worship our Lord. It is very helpful to be able to express our worship and prayers with a natural mind as well as our spirit. If you have not received the gift of tongues from the Holy Spirit, why not simply ask Him now? Continue to ask with a view toward being strengthened in your prayer life and worship to the Lord. It will not make you more spiritual. It's an added grace to help you pursue your relationship with the Lord. Now, before I learned the scriptures and really had an understanding of these areas, when I began to speak in tongues, and I alluded to this a couple weeks ago in teaching, when I began to speak in tongues, I saw what this chapter was saying, and maybe three times in my life, I brought a message in tongues with an interpretation of the message, because the Bible says if you speak in tongues, you need to interpret, or somebody needs to have the gift of interpretation to share what you're uttering, so the rest of the body can be edified. And what I realized as I read the scriptures that in speaking in tongues, I really had a desire to pursue prophecy, because that's what Paul puts the emphasis in the 14th chapter. He said, I would that you all speak in tongues, but rather that you prophesy. And so what I understood was that it was fine to speak in tongues in a meeting, but I'd rather have you prophesy. In other words, if you're bringing a word to encourage people, why don't you just prophesy? Speak it in the native tongue, and then everybody that understands the native tongue that's in the meeting will be able to understand what you're saying. And he said, prophecy is for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I mentioned that a few weeks ago when we talked about prophecy. And but he also goes on and he says, I want to pray with my spirit, but also with my mind. In other words, where certain things we can see, we can know, that need to be prayed about in our mind, and we just speak our native tongue and begin to pray about those things. But there are some things that only the Spirit really knows and understands. And so the Holy Spirit will quicken our spirit where our spirit man is speaking in tongues. So it's a spiritual gift, and it's not something that's coming out of the head. I remember I told the story, I think, when I was teaching about this a few weeks ago, when I was praying in my bedroom, asking the Holy Spirit to come and release these gifts in my life. All of a sudden, he showed me a sin I had committed that I repented of, and immediately I felt like a dam give way right in my mid area, right in the innermost part of my being. And all of a sudden, I began to speak in this language that I had never learned. And over the years, I continued to speak in that language. And Paul says to them, I speak in tongues more than you all. And what he was talking about is in his prayer life, in prison, and when he was just seeking the Lord, he would speak in tongues. So his spirit was always active through the language that the Holy Spirit gave to be able to pray, not only with his understanding, but to pray out of his spirit. And that's what he was instructing the church at Corinth, that he would that they all spoke in tongues. So, and he wasn't talking about necessarily bringing a message in the church service, but about their prayer life. And so tongues is a real asset because I can only know so much in my mind on how to pray, but the Spirit knows all things. So when the Spirit comes and anoints us in intercession to pray, and we're praying out of our spirit, man, it's a whole different situation. You say, well, I don't understand. But you don't need to understand. You just need to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit can use. And as you're speaking in tongues, the Spirit knows exactly. I remember as that developed in my life, one day I was just given to prayer. I was in my bedroom again, seeking God. I began to pray. I was interceding, I know, for nations. I was just praying for different nations, different situations. All of a sudden, I could hear my language in the Spirit change, and I could tell that I was speaking in different dialects, probably according to the nation that I was interceding for. So it was quite a learning experience in the beginning of understanding these things for myself. So I thought I'd share that experience with you. And then we get down to 1 Corinthians 12:10. And in 1 Corinthians 12:10, to another, the interpretation of tongues. The gift of interpretation was very important in the early church. There were many languages spoken throughout the Roman Empire. In Acts chapter 2, we read about all those from around the empire that had come to Jerusalem for the Feast of Pentecost, Jews that had come. They spoke the language of their homeland. Those speaking in tongues were speaking of the kingdom of God and in the many languages that were represented there on that day of Pentecost from the different nations. These were Jewish people, as I said earlier. Tongues were a sign gift to the Jews that the Spirit had come and the kingdom was being established. In Acts chapter 10, as I mentioned earlier, we see the sign gift of tongues given to the Gentiles. As the Gentiles received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, it was a sign to the Jews that God had accepted the Gentiles in his kingdom. Supernaturally, the message of the gospel was given in an understanding, an understood tongue by some, but needed interpreting for those who did not understand the language by which the Spirit was speaking. Now today, the gift of interpretation is still relevant. There are testimonies from the mission field of tongues and interpretations being helpful in the sharing of the gospel. From time to time, a message in tongues will come in a gathering of believers. If only the gift of tongues is exercised, there will be no edification for those who do not understand the language spoken. Interpretation provides others an opportunity to be encouraged as understanding is brought to the hearers. Paul encouraged tongues in the corporate gathering, but only if the gift of interpretation is exercised. Paul went on to say, some speak in tongues, some interpret, but all can prophesy. The Holy Spirit has made provision for the many languages spoken in the nations to hear the gospel, and has given an opportunity to receive Christ's offer of forgiveness and life. Rejoice today in your time of devotion with the Lord in how he has made provision for all people to hear and understand the good news of the kingdom of God. If the gift of tongues is exercised in a public meeting, maybe the Lord would use you to interpret what was spoken for edifying the body of Christ. I remember on a personal experience, I was in the National Guard, and I was sharing with a brother in the Lord who was not charismatic, had not experienced this thing of the Holy Spirit coming in power in the way we're talking about and Paul's talking about here. And he had a problem. He was trying to make a decision about a marriage. He was engaged to a woman, but he wasn't sure that it was right. And I was sitting next to him in a chapel setting, and the Holy Spirit came on me, and I prophesied over him. His name was Ray, and I prophesied over Ray that this was the Lord, that he was going to marry this woman. And then a few weeks later, I get word that they broke up. Guess how I felt? I said, boy, I sure blew it on that one. And then I found out later on that they got back together and they actually did get married. He ended up in the ministry, I think a Presbyterian, ended up pastoring in Central California. How about that? And so that was very edifying to me. I hope it was to him, that the word was true. But at first it didn't look like it because they separated and then they came back together and got married. So that was a real instructive moment for myself. Anyway, I hope this is helpful as we're studying this area of devotion, developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, we just rejoice today in this time of devotion with you in how you have made provision for all people to hear and understand the good news of the kingdom of God. If the gift of tongues is exercised again in the public meeting, maybe the Lord would use you to interpret what was spoken for the edifying of the body of Christ. Father, we just ask you to help us to enter fully into every provision that you have provided for your people. Let us not be people of unbelief. Fill us with the faith of God that we might enter into everything you have for us. In Jesus' name. Lord, we just give you the glory and the praise and the honor. Now, beloved, be faithful and walk with the King on a daily basis. Let me just remind you one more time as we close. Thank you for joining us today. If you'd like a copy of any of my books, on this devotional book is there on my website. Go to our website, www.sdccm.org/shop, and order from there. Your contribution will help us with the broadcast time. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM P.O. Box 152, 388 San Diego, California, 92195. Thank you, and remember to walk with the King. We love you. Bye-bye. Till next week.